This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of your Citizens Council Forum series. We're happy to have with us again today Senator Sam J. Irvin, Jr., a Democrat from North Carolina. Senator Irvin, recognized as one of the nation's foremost constitutional lawyers, is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee and of the Special Subcommittee charged with studying civil rights legislation. Senator, very happy to have you with us
today. Dick, I'm mighty glad to be with you again.
To begin the program, Senator, I'd like to ask you this. How many civil rights bills, so-called, have there been introduced in this session of Congress?
I would estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 in the Senate, because in the Senate, several members can introduce the same bill, but in the House, there's probably 100 or 150 if you count each individual bill, even though there'd be duplications as a separate bill.
Now, of these 30-odd bills introduced and pending in the Senate, do you feel that any of them fulfill any necessary functions?
I would say that none of them are necessary, none of them are wise, and none of them are compatible with the basic American institutions.
Do you think that some of this legislation is the work of professional agitators?
Oh, yes, there's no question about it. A lot of people find it advantageous and profitable for one reason or other to agitate on matters, racial matters.
Well, now, why do you feel that they're trying to implant in the minds of the nation the idea that all Southerners are guilty of some sort of mass crime, so to speak?
Well, it's always better to, if you can, to indict a whole people, and then you don't have to prove the truth of your charge. I think that's a basic thing.
Could you give us basically some of your reasons for opposing the so-called civil rights legislation?
Well, I say that they're unnecessary because there are already sufficient statutes on the law books of the nation and on the law books of all the states to secure the civil rights of any citizen who is willing to have his civil rights established by the same laws by which all other citizens' legal rights are established. That's the fundamental vice of the whole civil rights program, is that it picks out certain people on account of their race and attempts to make them special favorites of the laws and to excuse them from having their rights protected by the same laws by which all other men have their rights protected.
Doesn't it also pick out certain public officials and put special responsibilities on them?
Oh, yes, and it robs, picks out certain public officials and gives them arbitrary power. These bills would give the Attorney General the power to sue for the benefit of some people and refuse to sue for the benefit of other people in exactly the same situation. It would give the Attorney General the power to bring suits against some local and state officials and refuse to sue state or local officials in other instances of exactly the same character. In other words, it makes a law the private possession of a political appointee, the Attorney General.
Has this ever been done before in the history of this nation?
It never has. There's never been any man given the autocratic power which this bill would give to the Attorney General of the United States, who's responsible to nobody except the President who appoints him.
There is one point that I'd particularly like to get your idea on, and that is a recommendation made by the Federal Civil Rights Commission in last year's report, and since there's been some legislation introduced that would carry this out, to appoint federal voting registrars.
Well, Dick, at it, to my mind, is one of the most monstrous legislative proposals ever made by any people who have enough in education to be intelligent men, or presumably so. This is a peculiar bill. It provides that upon the sworn statement of 9 persons in any election district in the United States, that the president shall These people alleging that they have been denied the right to register and vote or to have their vote counted on account of their race or color or national origin or religion, that the president shall call upon the Civil Rights Commission to make an investigation. And if the Civil Rights Commission makes such an investigation and finds that the charge is true, then the president shall, it says. In other words, the president has to obey the Civil Rights Commission. The president shall appoint a federal registrar, not only to register those people who make the complaint, but take charge of the registration of all voters in that election precinct insofar as the right to vote for presidential electors or senators or congressmen are concerned.
In other words, this appointee, this political appointee, would, to all practical purposes, be running the election in that district.
Absolutely. And the strange thing about it is when a federal registrar is once appointed, he holds office as long as the president thinks it's necessary, which means he can have a life term. And then it says that the president has to obey and carry into effect the rights of the findings of the Civil Rights Commission. In other words, here is an insignificant, theoretically speaking, an agency of the executive branch of the federal government which has the power to command the President of the United States and force him to obey and carry into effect their finding. It's a rather queer thing that the President should be made a subordinate official to the Civil Rights Commission. It just shows that the members of the Civil Rights Commission, like so many human beings, when they get a little power, they become drunk upon their own power.
Now, of course, we all know that this measure is aimed primarily at the South, but it occurs to me that some of our friends in the rest of the country had better do some thinking about this.
They had, because it'll eventually be applied to them, just like the Reconstruction Act that allowed the federal government to interfere in elections was used to practice fraud in the state of New York and was repealed on a recommendation of a congressional committee on the basis of investigation made in New York. Now, there's another interesting thing about this federal registrar's bill, and that is it says the president can appoint any federal officer or any federal employee to be a federal register. He must, it says, live in in or near the registration district that's affected. Now, we don't know what near means. We are told every day that we are near the Hong Kong. And they can take and bring a man in from one state who has no knowledge of election laws of that state. They can bring the charwoman who mops up the floor in the courthouse, federal courthouse, or in the post office. I take them out of one state and bring them in another and appoint them to exercise functions which have always belonged to the states.
So in other words...
In other words, you take an alcohol tax unit man, make him a federal registrar, a janitor of a post office, anybody. It doesn't make a difference. And it's got another curious thing about that, showing how the Civil Rights Commission thirsts for power. It provides that the Civil Rights Commission can tell this registrar what whom among the persons who filed the petitions with the Civil Rights Commission are, in the judgment of the Civil Rights Commission, qualified to vote and qualified to be registered.
Well, then, under a particular set of political circumstances, it could be that a registrar could be appointed from your state of North Carolina to conduct an election in the state of Maine, or that a registrar could be appointed to go from Mississippi up to Minnesota to run an election, couldn't it?
There would be no limitation whatever on that unless it's in the word near, and the word near is an indefinite word. It's sort of about on a par with how far is up and how far is down. And so I think that's true, undoubtedly. And besides that, any president that wanted to, with the aid of the Civil Rights Commission, could take and I might say in obeying the command of the Civil Rights Commission, could take charge of the elections in all of the areas of the country, in every election precinct in the country, insofar as voting for federal officials is concerned, which is a power that ought not to be vested in any man.
Because for an organized political party, it would be no difficulty to get 9 complaints from any precinct.
Yes, in other words, this might be called a bill for carpetbagged federal registrars. They could take folks and send them from outside of a state to take charge of the election machine of the state.
Well, now, Senator, are there any other provisions of these so-called civil rights bills that strike you as particularly repugnant?
The same Civil Rights Commission, 3 members recommended that the Constitution be amended so as to rob states of their historic power to prescribe and the qualifications of voters, the object being to give a vested federal constitutional right to vote to idiots, lunatics, and convicted felons. And the only reason they give for it, they say if a that if we had no qualifications for voting, except that a man should possess a living physical body, with or without intelligence, and with or without character, and is not actually imprisoned in a institution for mental defectives or a prison on the day of election or the day of registration, if it had no qualifications beyond that, that it would be easy to determine whether or not a person had been wrongfully denied the right to vote. And, of course, I agree with that, but I think to destroy this historic power of the state and divest an absolute constitutional right to vote in idiots and lunatics and convicted felons who have committed crimes involving moral turpitude would be about as sensible as using an atomic bomb to get rid of a mouse.
You know, this strikes me as particularly funny since we in the South are always being hit at for not particularly liking certain court decisions, yet there have been court decisions which have upheld the rights of states to set qualifications
That's
for
right.
voting.
The Constitution gives it.
And these same people that are condemning us for objecting to a court decision are now doing everything within their power to upset other court decisions.
Well, that's the reason. Incidentally, in this Federal Registrar's Act, they are to remove a state official for cause of the performance of duties of his office. And then they don't give him any, require to be given any notice or opportunity to be heard, and therefore the statute violates the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment and also violates the rule that you can't give judicial power to an executive officer. And that's exactly what it does.
So do you feel that such a law would be unconstitutional even if it were to pass?
It certainly would, on two grounds at least.
Well, Senator Irvin, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today. Our time has gone by very quickly, and I'll be looking forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Sam J. Irvin, Jr., a Democrat from the state of North Carolina. Join us again next week at the same time when we will be back with another interesting program in this series of discussions. Till then, Dick Morphew saying, thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.